This is the Doug Haldeman Show, brought to you by the Real Estate Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Renfro. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
You're always welcome to contact us or text us by calling our off-air number at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. Or you can visit our website at DougHaldeman.com. That's DougHaldeman.com. So, Tammy, on our show, when we talk about homes and everything involving real estate, it seems like one of the scariest things is when life is not built on a solid foundation.
Very true.
And it's a metaphor for life, but it's also very real when it comes to your home, that you better have a solid foundation. And when it comes to having a solid foundation, I have to call in the expert, Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions. Welcome, Stephen.
What an intro, man. I like that. That's good stuff.
Well, it is a metaphor, but it is, you know, on Sunday here, we have to, I go back to my childhood singing, the wise man built his house upon the rock.
Right. We're going to get a jingle going here. Yeah. Did you get all that?
All right. Well. So sometimes those rocks seem to start crumbling out from under people. So take us through when you build a house and you build a foundation, the anatomy of a foundation. What are the different parts of it?
It's an excellent question, and really that's what it all starts, is how well is it built and what is it made of? Mm-hmm. You know, the reality of it is the first step's a footing, and the footing is what everything, the foundation starts with that. So the footing should be one piece. It's called monolithic. It's also reinforced with steel.
So where is the footing when you're just looking at a foundation?
You never see it. It's below the wall. Now, when you're standing in your basement and you're standing on that floor, and hopefully it's concrete, some of the homes started out with cinders in the floor, and the floors are very thin in the city. I say that, but it's true. And sometimes your concrete floor came in as just as an afterthought.
So do they pour that footing first before the walls?
They do.
And it obviously it has to come in first, but I mean, they pour it and then it dries and then they pour the rest?
Right. If they pour that footing, and what's interesting and very critical, if they overdig that footing, if they've shoveled too much and that footing's now on not virgin soil anymore, it takes 200 years for soil to go back to its original state. And we'll come back to that. But that is one of the critical parts, is the placement of the footing. And sometimes the footing in the older homes are stone.
Oh, right.
Interesting. So what difference does that end up causing if it's a stone footing versus cement?
You know, there's so many good stone foundations out there, being a lover of St. Louis, and so many of the homes have stone foundations. They were very brilliant in how they used the mortar in between those stones, had a high lime content. It's a type O cement. And what it did is it healed itself. You know, a lot of times you'll notice in the city there'll be a window that's got the limestone lintel, and it's doing a curve. And yet it's not broken because it seemed to heal itself. And so that's how the stone foundations work in congruent with the mortar.
Interesting. So they pour the footing. That's the foundation for the foundation.
Mm-hmm. That's roughly. Right.
And then what are the next pieces of it?
The other part of your foundation is the wall. And a lot of people get confused that the floor is part of their foundation and it's cracked and it gets them very nervous. You can count on that floor crack in some place. There should be foundation zip lines in it or actual foundation crack shrinkage lines so that you know that you'll be able to control that shrinkage of the concrete. When water comes out of the mix, the void becomes. So you have to make sure you use as little water as possible and try and control where the cracks are going to be. But your foundation wall is generally 8 inches thick, and your foundation footing is generally 16 inches wide, as well as, you know, sitting on a 16-inch footing.
And how deep is a footing usually?
Well, it depends upon the height of the house. You could be anywhere from 8 to 12 inches deep, and it depends if there's a frost line. If it's a walk out in the back, that frost wall could go down 4, 5, 6 feet until it's able to sit on rock or something decent to where you don't have the back of the house fall off a hillside.
Okay, so they have the footing, they pour the walls on top of it, and the floor is really not relevant when it comes to the structure of the house and the strength of it.
No, sometimes it'll tell a story if it cracks at a corner. If you wind up having a floor crack follow wall cracks, it'll start to tell you that something's tilting down and away, and that would tell you that you have a footing failure.
Okay.
Interesting. So once we move past that, you know, Tammy, I know you had a question you were asking the other day.
Just what peering is, what are peers, what helps with that
Yeah, because we hear that term. Mm-hmm. Explain what are piers in a home.
I guess the easiest way for me to describe a pier is we've all seen the giant metal erector sets that our electric runs through as we're going down the highway. And as this metal comes down, the legs go into giant concrete pier legs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you see the top of a pier leg on a deck, smaller version. Piers can be steel, they can be helical, they can be concrete. Mm-hmm. So it depends upon where the house is placed. What type of materials are there? I mean, if you're in Jefferson County, you're going to have a tough time trying to run a piece of steel on the ground or a helical on the ground. So you've got to be careful where you're at as to what to use.
Okay, so a pier is not part of the original foundation. It's only used for repairs, correct?
It could be and should be. God, that's a great one. If the builder sometimes feels that he's overdug or he's in a situation where heavy plastic soil, which is clay in the soil, there's a lot of things that could come up. But the reality of it is if those piers were put in the front end, so much easier, so much of a longer last. But it's no different than using, putting in things in the beginning of a construction is always easier than later. So
now on additions and things like that, now we've used the sonotube and did the pier thing.
Right.
Now is that would you advise on that or?
Yeah, sure. If it's placed properly, the big mm-hmm. thing about a pier is making sure if it's concrete that it's number one, you've got the right mix.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's reinforced properly with the right rebar,
mm-hmm.
and you should bell the bottom of that leg out. But before you start all of that, you should mm-hmm. proctor test the soil. You have
right.
to make sure that you have the right, soil densities before you start to place a pier.
Got it.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions, our foundation repair expert. And Stephen, I know that we haven't even really touched on your background again, but I think just your applied missile science degree and your master's in concrete and cement technology just puts you head and shoulders above the rest when it comes to your knowledge level of your industry. Is that really what kind of drove you to get into the waterproofing business?
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but I'm a student of the industry. 20-something years ago when I had a wet basement in Fenton when I first moved back here, I grew up in St. Ann in a slab home, and in Texas we didn't have basements. So I was quite excited to be able to have a man cave, put my artwork up, and, that's what
right.
you want. I laid my artwork out. Most of it got ruined, and I was heartbroken by that. So I called my old boss at W.R. Grace, and he's like, look, you're in Foundation Repair Central. You're in the Midwest. The river's all coming through there. You need to call. And, we named a couple big ones, a couple small ones. Being leery of salespeople, and I don't mean that in an ugly way, and I think anyone that hears me saying that understands that edge that can be attached to someone that's trying to sell something and make a buck and somebody that's trying to serve an industry.
Well, the term caveat emptor, the Latin for buyer beware,
absolutely,
it didn't come about for no reason.
Right. And by all means, I am a salesperson in the sense that I serve my people and I provide solutions for what is wrong, but I don't have a quiver of arrows and I don't selectively pick what I want to push on somebody.
And is there any single solution that's the best for mm-hmm. For properties, if they're having a foundation issue?
No.
Okay, so explain that and the kind of the variation among, how would you know when to do a pier versus a brace?
Well, that's a great question. A pier, something is falling down and away or falling in. It's because the footing has failed, and that's that monolithic pour that the wall sits on. If the wall is pushing in, that's when bracing or tie backs and things of this nature, soldier beams, buttresses, there's lots of terms out there, and it gets confusing for people. But if you take it slow and you just start to identify the different repairs that are out there, you'll see that bracing is for something that's moving in or tie backs, and mm-hmm. piering is for something that's falling down and away. And I've seen folks that have considered themselves experts in the field misdiagnose this. So when you find yourself with the third bid different, you're going to have to ask yourself, is this time for me to call an outside party? These professional engineers, that's why they're here for us. They're our advocates. Now, be careful with them as well. They're people. They have opinions, but it's based on science and education. I would say jump that route.
As a consumer, how would I know to really what to look for? Like, would my wall be bowing out or in or... Can you explain that a little bit?
Diagonal cracks on a wall, on the same wall, that come from the floor, the corners in. So if you're looking at the wall and you point at the corner and you start to make a 10-foot diagonal coming up both sides,
okay,
you can go up and look at the top of that wall and there's bolts that are on the top and they go into the sill board. They're broken.
Or the sill plate, okay.
Yeah, so when you see that they're broken, and you can go outside, very good tall tale if it's a brick house. Go out there and take a look. Get down on your hands and knees, okay. And you'll be able to stick your fingers behind the mortar. Now, that mortar was sitting flat on the wall when the brick was put on it, but that edge sticks out because the brick can't be flush with the foundation. Boy, there's your first indicator.
Okay.
Now, if you got zippers running up your brick where it's brick, now you might have a combination of both. It's not necessarily peering, but you're noticing that the wall's not standing as tall as it used to.
Okay.
Now, will you guys also repair brickwork if the foundation needs repair? Will you also go up
that
zipper?
Very good question. I think folks that are good at what they do should stay with what they do best. And a brick mason is a brick mason. And there's a reason why those boys do what they do.
But
so
you have
I defer to the proper people for
you have
that.
Some brick masons you work with, though, in those situations?
Several. I'm in a business now. I'm in BNI Best. And I got to tell you, we all know about BNI. And if we haven't, you should look into it. But I'm in a network of people that are outstanding in their field.
Excellent. Well, and I'm a do-it-yourself type of guy. Okay, so I've taken on some pretty big jobs, and I'm okay with jumping in and researching and, you know, then trying to do a job myself. However, with foundations, well, I tell you what, that's an area that I am not even going to begin to start to try to do something myself.
Good for you. You know, that seller's disclosure statement's your get-out-of-jail-free card with me or anyone that knows what they're doing, because they're going to want to know somebody that's licensed and bonded and educated and has a good record as taking care of that home. And if the homeowner did it, that just puts this big air of sketchiness into it. Like, gosh, that's a very specialty area. I'm a little concerned.
Well, if you see some cracks in your foundation, even some small cracks, especially in the walls, or if you have any water coming in, but even before the water comes in, if you have cracks, it's a lot easier to take care of it early on. Okay, and let Steven come out, give you a free estimate, or if you're buying a new home even and you're not sure, have Steven come out and he'll give you a free inspection. And I think that's a valuable service you offer, Stephen. I really appreciate just this knowledge today. Can't wait to have you back again. Thanks for coming.
I love being here. Tammy, thanks. Tommy, we appreciate you, Doug. Always a pleasure.
All right, Stephen. Thank you very much.
What single economist has had the largest influence on me becoming a financial expert? Barry Habib, the CEO of MBS Highway, will join us next. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.